listening to me?
Can I talk to you for a second?
Oh my God, I was dying.
You totally have to hear this. Do you have a minute right now?
It's
really
important.
Right
important, okay?
I just
keep it on the
dime.
Keep it on the dime. I feel like you're not ready right now. Can you stand here for a second? Bitches, talk.
Welcome to the Overshare Show. I'm Tony.
I'm Grace.
And today we're going to be talking to Sarah Elizabeth Richards, who wrote the book Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. And the reason why I was so particularly interested in the subject is that one of my dearest and closest friends and producer of the show, Gita, actually froze her eggs a couple years ago. And I went through the process with her in the sense that we talked on the phone and texted a lot about it. And so we wanted to bring her in today and ask her a bit about her experience. After all, she was kind of the inspiration of this exploration into this field. So Gita, tell me a little bit about why you chose to freeze your eggs.
It was first suggested to me when I was 31 by a friend of mine that I should freeze my eggs because he just knew about my crazy love life. And I was initially really offended by the suggestion because I thought the implication was, of course you're not going to find someone, so you better freeze your eggs. And I just was like, you know, fuck you. If I don't meet someone by the time I want to have a baby, then I'm not meant to have a baby. And then, you know, fast forward 5 years and I'm 36 and coming out of a relationship that I thought actually could have resulted in starting a family with this person. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think freezing my eggs sounds like a good idea. So that's how it happened.
So what was the process like for you? I know that, you know, just in regular pregnancy, the hormones that happen make you crazy. You know, I always thought of myself as being one way and not someone who might, you know, weep and retch in a public, you know, crowded parking lot, and then realized, oh, no, I'm just a bunch of chemicals. And I think about the intensity of what you have to go through. How was that?
Well, yeah, it was definitely intense. I remember feeling at times it was hard to know what was the hormones affecting me and what was just actually my own emotional state reacting to what I was going through as a process physically and emotionally and spiritually. You know, fortunately, I don't have these like huge bulging ovaries still like bursting out of my abdomen, which I felt like I did by the end of the process. And, you know, you give yourself shots a couple times a day, which is at first was hard and then you just get used to it. But yeah, I mean, I think overall you sort of have to give yourself a month in total to both the process before as you're injecting yourself and growing these eggs in your ovaries, and then you have what they call the harvest, the egg harvest, and then it really takes, for me, it took, you know, the most painful part is after the procedure, because it's a pretty invasive process to remove the eggs, and depending on how many you have, it's just they have to go in a bunch of times. It's actually a really short procedure and not painful while you're having it at all. But afterwards, like 2 days later, all of a sudden I was like, I could hardly move because my ovaries had been poked so many times with a needle.
I think, you know, with such cutting edge technology, it's easy to get away from the fact that this is, you know, a very emotional thing. And it must be hard not to think of like one of these eggs is, you know, eventually, potentially going to be a child.
Yeah, actually someone, I can't remember who, someone actually suggested that I talk to them and encourage their growth. So I actually started to do that. And it was really funny because one day I went to my therapist and I like sat down in the chair and burst into tears. And I was like, I just had this realization that next week I'm going to have my eggs taken out and they're going to all be put in a freezer. And I've kind of grown attached to them and I feel really bad that they have to go into a freezer. And my shrink was very wise and assured me that they had a much better shot at ever becoming a baby than any of my other eggs. And, you know, that I was actually giving them a shot at life rather than freezing them for eternity.
I just want to say, I think I was that person that suggested that you talk to your eggs, because it really sounds like me. And so if it wasn't me, I'm going to take full credit for it. Let's just say that.
So one of the other interesting things my therapist said to me was that he really believes in the future, that this procedure should become something that is affordable and available to all young women who are interested in freezing their eggs. And in his idealistic world, that all young women would be able to go to college, freeze their eggs when they're 22 after they're done with college, and then continue on with their life. And obviously an egg from a 22-year-old is pretty optimal as far as the strength of the egg and whatnot. And so the idea that, you know, if you're then moving into your 30s and having trouble getting pregnant or 40s or whatever the case may be, you'd have these eggs from your 22-year-old self still waiting for you.
I think that's a really interesting point, that in the future, if it does become affordable to everyone, it sort of changes the economic aspect potentially of marriage, where historically, you know, that's a big part of it. And I know if, you know, you have this interruption in your mid to late 30s where you, you know, need to have kids because you're worried about not being able to get pregnant later, it also interrupts your ability to earn. And if that is taken out of the equation, and women are able to, you know, ideally go to college, leave college, develop their career, become financially stable, and then that piece is taken out of sort of finding a partner, and it just may change things a lot.
Yeah, Grace, I think that's a really interesting idea to kind of contemplate, is how, you know, ultimately egg freezing does have to do with feminist issues and women's health in a very complex way, because no matter if we like it or not, a biological clock does exist. We do have an expiration date in our uterus, and that does impact our, you know, our status in the workforce and how we're able to commit to our children, et cetera. And I think that, you know, one of the things that kind of bothered me a lot when I was reading the reviews on Sarah's book and just like looking at different, you know, people's reaction to it, is it was either one of like immense support and people that were also interested in doing it or were kind of inspired by the fact that this might be an option for them, or really, really judgmental women. I mean, I guess there were some men, but a lot of women who were very judgmental and critical of what Sarah was doing and would write incredibly rude and mean comments. And I was just wondering, Gita, did you experience judgment from people? Were you shy to talk about it? I mean, what was your emotional kind of reaction and how you would relate to people around this like very personal and intimate decision you were making in life?
Yeah, well, initially I didn't really talk about it with anyone because I didn't know anyone who had ever gone through the procedure. And yeah, I think I felt a little like it was this thing I had to go through, but like wasn't really appropriate to share with people. And then I went through my own just sort of coming to terms and acceptance with, hey, this isn't a big deal. I'm actually doing something that's empowering, and I feel totally great about the fact that I'm doing it. And so I started talking about it more openly to people. And what was really interesting was how many people actually said, like, I mean, not just random guys that I met on the street, but, you know, if I was like talking to like someone who's like, I talked to, I remember, you know, someone I knew in a work context and who's, you know, a couple years older than I was. And she had frozen. She's like, oh yeah, I did that. And like that started to happen more and more, or a number of women were like, oh, I've really been thinking about doing that. Can I talk to you about it? And of course I was like, yes, because I had so wished I had that person to talk to when I was initially considering it. There was one conversation I had with a friend's mom where we were all having dinner, and I've known this woman for a long time, so I totally felt comfortable talking about it with her. And she just looked at me like as if, you know, I was growing horns out of my head or something. And she was like, well, isn't that really presumptuous of you to think that you can intervene with medicine and science and, you know, your fertility? You know, I just don't understand young women who think they can do this. What's interesting is like she's definitely a very politically progressive person, you know, but somehow this pushed her button, like this was messing with nature. And I'm like,
I wonder if that's a generational thing because it wasn't available probably to her. And maybe there's a little, maybe somewhere there's a resentment or like, man, I wish I had that choice.
I mean, the reason why I find this to be like an incredibly compelling subject is that, you know, fertility is something that defines womanness, you know, in our modern culture in so many ways, whether or not you choose to have a baby, you don't choose to have a baby, it's still society will label you, you know, from that initial choice, even though, okay, fine, I'm a mom, but I feel so much more than just a mother. You know, that's an aspect of my personality. And I also feel like if I hadn't had a child, I would still be a really, you know, full person. And I just think that, like, once we start talking about it, regardless of how we necessarily or initially feel, if you don't have real face-to-face conversations with people who've gone through this experience, I just think that judging it or looking down on it or not trying to at least be compassionate is doing a disservice to women, you know, where we're still in this culture of being defined by our femininity, by our mothering or not mothering.
Do you have any advice out there for women who are thinking about this?
I think the main thing I would suggest is, if you are considering this as an option, to ideally find someone who has gone through the process, just because it can be really overwhelming, and, you know, you can let months or even years possibly go by just thinking about it but not taking action. But I think once you actually talk to someone who went through it and can tell you, yeah, it is a big deal, and it's also not a big deal. The whole process can kind of be demystified, and you can feel more empowered about making a decision about what's right for you.
Thank you, Gita, for opening up to us about this. And thank you, Sarah. I found this to be a super interesting topic, and I hope you guys do too. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. So I am completely fascinated by this topic. And one of the things I was really interested about was your personal story. So can you tell me a little bit about why you initially chose to freeze your eggs?
Sure. Well, I was in my early 30s, and I was just broken up with somebody I'd been with for like almost 8 years. And I was starting to get really worried about, you know, I was getting older, and I had read that book by Sylvia Ann Hewlett about how our fertility ends much sooner than we think. So it was on my mind. I was dating someone who wasn't sure he wanted kids, and so I was starting to get a little nervous. I've always wanted to be a mom, and I just assumed, you know, that my whole life would line up. And all of a sudden, I was 34, and then I was 35, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, you know, by the time this all unfolds, and even if we had children in that relationship, that I was getting to an age where my fertility was going to be an issue. So when I heard about it, the opportunity to actually stop your eggs from aging and protect your fertility, I was like, this is awesome.
Right. I mean, I think it's really interesting that women have to deal with this idea of ambivalence in a man. You know, so you may know you want children, and he may say, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then the relationship continues because you're in love, but he doesn't have the same window that you have. He can have that, like, laissez-faire attitude where you can't.
Exactly. And I think for a lot of guys, it's not clear. They don't, it's not like they say, well, yeah, I want kids. You know, you just assume that if you're in love and in your good relationship and everything's going along as it should be, that that's something that naturally happens. And, you know, I don't think women talk about it early enough in a relationship, you know, and really feel out a guy. And I don't think guys even know really what they want. But yeah, they're not forced to make that decision at an earlier age the same way we are.
Yeah. And it's hard to be on a date. I mean, you kind of mentioned this in your book, saying, oh, hey, it's our second date. Do you want kids one day?
Yeah, you don't do that.
Because how does that not make you come off as desperate, even if you're just trying to understand you want like common values, common interests?
Right. And I think, I mean, guys are tuned into it. They're, you know, he even made jokes and said, you know, oh, I'd be on a date and a girl would just start talking about that to something, you know, that she hadn't paid attention to her personal life and she wanted to be a mother. And, you know, what are you supposed to do with that on a second date? Right.
Yeah, it's incredibly awkward. And I think what's hard is that what she's trying to do is just gauge his potential interest. And a lot of men just take it as, wait a minute, I'm not saying I want to be your baby daddy. I just met you. And I maybe want to get in your pants later, but.
My brother and his friends, they had a terrible term. They said, oh, so-and-so wants to go out with this woman. We're going to set her up. But, you know, she's such a clock ticker. I'm like, what's a clock ticker? And it's like, they immediately put you in that category. Like, you're going to rush the relationship, that, you know, you're just sizing them up for their daddy potential. You're just have blinders on. You don't care about anything else, but
yeah,
you know, their sperm and wallet.
I mean, it's interesting, but it's also every stereotype, there comes this element of truth to it. And I think that there are circumstances that people get into, women specifically, that are ambitious and have, you know, careers and jobs and had to have other priorities besides just men and making babies. They suddenly get to this point where they are stuck. And it's not necessarily their fault, but yet society is blaming them. Like they're like pariahs or something.
Yeah, it's an awkward age for sure, especially if that's something that you want. But it's not even career as much. It's also relationships. I mean, you know, I was in a really long relationship in my early 20s to early 30s. And, you know, it takes time, especially in this day and age, to learn how to be in a relationship, to learn relationship skills, to find the right person. You may have a couple different relationships before you really feel like you're at a mature age or that you've found a really good fit. And so it's almost like, you know, what we expect from partners or what we want in our personal lives doesn't match up with the way our biology is going. Add that, and then you have the other layer of careers and women going to graduate school and traveling, and all of a sudden you're 35 and you're like, oh God, I've got to get all this lined up.
And that pressure just builds anxiety, and it builds anxiety for the woman and for whoever she would be potentially dating, because
right,
it's on her mind. And so your solution and a potential solution for women out there is egg freezing. So can you tell me a little bit about your process?
Sure. Well, and you know, back to the dating issue, if you're 38 and you do want children, it's hard to avoid that issue if you are on a date. They're thinking about it. Well, what does she want? What is she looking for? You have to think about it. So it's there, sitting there, no matter how cool and casual you are, or avoid it. So it's something that I don't think you can really get around. And it does affect, anyway, dating. So my process. So you decide you want to freeze your eggs. Usually have to go get your fertility tested. They measure your hormones. They look at how many eggs you have.
Is that painful?
It's not fun. I mean, you have to get your blood drawn. You have to get a vaginal ultrasound. You know, it's doctor's appointments. It's, you know, not the thing you'd want to be doing on a Monday afternoon. You have to take time off from work. It's a pain. But you do that, then you have to take a couple weeks of hormone shots. You have to go for several office visits, because while you're basically growing your eggs so that they can pull them out, extract them surgically, and freeze them.
So the hormones help you grow more eggs than you would normally, or?
Well, so each month you have a certain amount of eggs that are made available to your body, and your body will naturally select one to send down, you know, during ovulation to be fertilized. But what you're doing, instead of letting that your body select that one, you're taking they call them a complement, that group of eggs, and then you're taking hormones to mature all of them. So the doctor will do a surgery and remove them all at once. So let's say then you have 9 eggs that you can freeze.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
So usually your body would just select one, but because of the hormones, the doctor gives you the opportunity to select all.
Exactly.
Of those that could have been released.
Exactly. And then, so, you know, during when you're going through this 2 weeks of hormone shots, you have to go to like a million doctor's appointments, because they have to gauge them. And, you know,
You do the shots yourself, or does the doctor
do them? No, you do them.
Is that traumatizing?
It's the first one is hard, and the second one, and then you get like, it's kind of eerie how easily you get used to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did the hormones make you feel?
You get bloated. You know, you don't feel great. You feel sluggish. You feel bitchy. It's, you know, it's not a fun time, but it's after 2 weeks, it's over.
Right.
They pull those suckers out. They freeze them.
How do they pull them out?
You have. So I don't mean to be so
casual
about it. I know.
Like, is there
it.
A vacuum cleaner, or how does that work?
No. So they do a surgery where they.
Do they cut you open, or they just.
No, they do it. Like,
go inside.
They go inside. It's like transvaginal. They go and basically they poke the egg sac. Uh-huh. And then like it literally sucks it out of its little capsule. I forget what the term is. And then they freeze them. It's basically the first part of IVF. Any woman who goes through IVF is doing this procedure, it's called an egg stimulation and harvesting procedure.
Right.
The only difference is that instead of fertilizing these eggs and putting them back in you as embryos, they're stopping it and freezing them.
And they're saved.
And they're saved. So when I want to thaw my eggs, basically, I'm going to go through that second half of IVF.
Got it.
Yeah.
So how many eggs did you end up freezing?
Well, I have a bit of an extreme story. Well, because I was researching this book, and also I think it's just really started to hit me when I froze my first couple rounds that, you know, when you freeze them and you go through that process and you find the money and you commit yourself to it, it really dawns on you like how precious your fertility is. Because I think before you feel like there's like time is slowly creeping by and you don't know really how to stop it. And all of a sudden you have this tool and you can stop it, and you think, okay, I have these eggs now, but what if they don't work? And what if I don't have enough? And what if I want a second baby? So, I mean, I just felt this extreme urgency to try to save as many as I could. Because I was writing this book, I did a lot of research, and it helped me find different ways. For example, I went to Canada, where they were at the time it was cheaper, and they were one of the first people to use this new flash freezing process, which has better success rates. I order generic drugs over the internet. What else?
Were you nervous about taking drugs off the internet?
Yeah.
But please don't do ecstasy. Please
don't do ecstasy. No. I mean, they were Spanish fertility drugs from Spain. I mean, you know, they're going to have
it's the same deal.
Yes, yeah. It's all the same thing. But you just feel so focused that it's almost like you've been given a, before you don't know when your eggs are going to expire. Right. But all of a sudden you feel like you've been given a deadline. My doctor said you have to have it done by your 39th birthday. So it's all of a sudden like, okay, I have this time and this is my deal. And so I got to save 70. So
you can have the Brady Bunch if you want.
Yeah. So I'm very fortunate, you know, and I know a lot of women don't get the opportunity, but what's great about the way egg freezing is evolving as a field or as a procedure is that a lot of places now are offering it for much cheaper prices. So I think women can get like a 3-package deal where, you know, they can bank, you know, enough to feel like they have a good safety net for later.
So do you feel that this process that you went through, although, you know, difficult and had its own health consequences, did you feel empowered by it? And what was the predominant emotion like, during it and after?
It's the most profound sense of relief I've ever felt. I mean, aside from, I don't know, getting a cancer diagnosis and finding out you're going to be okay, it's something that had been on my mind and it had made me so anxious. And it's almost like you feel this incredible sense of loss, like you're losing the thing that you've wanted your whole life. You look at kids and on the street and you think, oh, I'm not going to have that. You see a little girl and you think, oh, I'm not going to have that. So everything just feels so sad and you feel like this, your world is closing in a little bit. You know, you see your brother's kids and your nieces and nephews and you think like, oh, I should savor this time because I may not have my own. So all of a sudden you've stopped that dead in its tracks. And I don't know if my eggs will work, but all of a sudden it was like I was back in the game. So
right.
Just incredible relief.
I mean, it kind of made me want to cry, actually, you saying that. And I know that there is biology, but there just seems to be this injustice sometimes women have to deal with in terms of we have the responsibility of carrying the baby and then squeezing it out of our vag and then breastfeeding it. And then at the same time, we have that same expiration date.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really hard. I mean, I got pregnant at 29. I had my kid at 30. Honestly, I was like, I am so young. How am I going to do this? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not young at all. Like that's ridiculous. But it's funny how, especially like in modern times, like we feel younger.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's totally okay to be like 27 and like working at Starbucks and like contemplating philosophy. But
I'm 43 right now, but I think of myself as 33.
I know, because I think like culturally there's just a younger spirit that's going on. We don't have that same sort of pressure of the 50s or even of the 70s in many ways. Like we have so much more opportunity and freedom, but
we don't look the way our parents looked at our age or our grandparents. And it's completely different.
Yeah, I look like a 12-year-old runaway half my life. And that's okay. It's acceptable.
It's acceptable.
So how do you feel like people treated you during this process? Did you feel supported or, you know, was your family supportive?
Yeah. Oh, one thing before maybe ask that question again.
Yeah.
The one thing it's really sad when, you know, I've met a lot of women, you know, when I worked on my book and I've been writing a lot of stories and, you know, you meet women who are 36 and they just got divorced and all of a sudden they're in this position because one of the things I encountered, you know, I wrote a lot of articles when my book was published and I wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal.
I like that one. That was the one I read that made me stalk you.
But people put horrible comments and, you know, I've gotten everything like, how could you be so stupid to date a man who didn't want kids? You should have made it a priority. Or why did you live your life where this happened to you? And it was almost this, you know, of course our lives are our responsibility, but there was just such a huge backlash about, you know, I was doing something unnatural. I was going to be an older mom now, and now I'm going to be unfair to my kids because I'm going to make them take care of me. Or I was being irresponsible because I was having mango teenies after work every month or every week, supposedly, and
that
not
sounds delicious.
Taking care of, you know, what my real priority should be. But it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Our lives don't line up the way we think they would. I mean, when I was in an earlier relationship, of course I thought I was going to be married and having kids by a certain age, by 30, in fact. Then you meet women who get divorced they didn't ask for that. They didn't, you know, I knew, I have one friend who, you know, her husband announced he was a sex addict and, you know, she was all, they were ready to start a family and her life imploded and you just don't know where your life takes you or what happens. And to be able to get this extra option, this extra layer of protection, it's an incredible thing for women, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, the internet backlash, it's so fascinating to me how angry people get because yeah. they've made these specific life decisions and so they judge others for making different ones. And the absurdity of that is, and it's also, you know, you're hiding behind like a username on the right. internet. It's not like no one's like coming up to your face and telling you this. There's no bravery in that. But I mean, it's just interesting how women, I think any woman, whether you've had a child or not, should be able to acknowledge the fact that like, wow, it's really stressful that we have this quote unquote biological clock and
right.
that means something. And to just shit on people is like, it's crazy talk. I it makes me so sad that people would never just like not support that you were able to have this possibility in your life. I mean, granted, there is a financial sacrifice you had to make that not everyone can do, but like, why can't you spend your money on something that's really important to you?
Right. And there's two things. One, I think people assume that somehow all these women just had rich parents who just wrote checks. And the women in my book, that wasn't the case. One woman had to get a credit card, you know, a credit card deal where you could pay the interest or you could pay the interest. You didn't got an interest-free credit card for a year and you could pay it off. And so that's how she did it. You know, I did it. I got a little bit from my parents helped me a little bit. I paid for some of it. I found other ways, you know, I took some loans, I put some on credit cards. You just sort of cobble it together. It's not like such a, it is obviously something that a lot of women don't have access to, but a lot of people are confused that somehow it's just like only for the rich and, you know, it's like IVF. Just, you know, people are just trying to find a way
right.
to pay for it. The other thing that really, the other thing that makes me mad is people assume, oh, well, you're just going to be an older mother. You're selfishly going to have your kids at 55 and make them take care of you and do it whenever you want. Or we're going to push this age of older motherhood to an extreme. But what was interesting is the women I interviewed in my book, they only actually bought themselves a few extra years because mm-hmm. they didn't want to push it off forever. They just wanted, you know, a few extra years to get the right partner or, you know, figure out what they wanted. So, you know, the women in my book, you know, they decided to thaw their eggs before they were 45.
Right.
So it wasn't an extreme crazy thing.
Right.
I think, you know, even if you can stop your biological clock, I mean, we all know we can stop our aging clock. So, you know, I think at a certain point, every woman thinks, okay, if I'm going to do this, I do have to do it now.
Right. And it's just, there is such a double standard of, I can't think of like how many older men who like get divorced and then marry a 22-year-old and like have another family.
And no one thinks twice about that.
And no one's like, how dare you be an old dad?
No, they don't.
With your wrinkles. Yeah, no. But so tell me, how about your family and friends? Do you feel like personal support?
Yeah, well, so it's funny. When I first brought up the idea to my mother, she just laughed. And she didn't laugh. But she just looks at me. She's like, well, wouldn't it just be easier to find someone who wants to be a dad and get pregnant and have your family? I was like, well, yeah, you kind of have a point. She's like, why are you making this so hard? Why are you having to get science to help you and go through this crazy surgical process? But the thing was, is that, you know, even if I had found that partner right then, I wasn't ready to be a mom and it wasn't going to line up for me in the next year or 2 years.
Right.
And the thing is that even if I did have a kid in time, I may want those eggs for a second baby.
Right.
And she wants kids. I mean, no, well, she has them, but she wants grandkids. And,
yeah.
you know, she's obviously supported me. It was really sweet when she, when I got my eggs frozen in Canada, in Montreal, there was on the third procedure, which was the last one, I'd broken up with my boyfriend. She flew from San Diego to Montreal. And I was like lying there on the surgical thing and she's stroking my hair and she's just being so sweet. And she just said, you know, this was the right thing to do. And I said, I know. And I started crying because you do feel a little, when you have your kids, you know, no one wants their daughters to have to do that.
Right.
It's kind of a last resort. Some people call it desperate. I call it empowering, but that's not what you want for your kids. So there's something a little bittersweet.
Right.
That you have to go to your parents and say, yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to. Or, you know, I stayed in this other relationship too long. It didn't work out. And, you know, you told me he was a jerk and I should have listened to you earlier, but now I'm freezing my eggs.
Right.
And no one wants to do that.
Can you come and tickle my back, please? Because it's going to be raw. So,
right.
I mean, God, I just feel like you're bringing up a lot of just like really like base human emotions. And you know, this idea of like nurturing and motherhood, and this is something you knew that you wanted, you know, how are you feeling now about things? Like, are you feeling like I am in control of this and I feel really good about where everything is at?
Yeah. So the at least for me, the big emotion I felt was relief. But then after that, you just have this sense of peace and you feel in charge of your life again. You feel like in control of your fertility. Because before, there was this force happening to you. Your window was closing and you couldn't do anything. You almost felt powerless in it. And you could go on dates or you could have a talk with your boyfriend, but it was still happening. And it was just so frustrating. So all of a sudden, it's like, okay, that stopped. Now you can focus on what you need to do. So the big fear that a lot of critics had when egg freezing first became available about 10 years ago in the U.S., was that women were going to use it as an excuse to not date, to not, you know, get their lives in place to have a child, and they would just postpone motherhood indefinitely. And then, you know, let's say they'd be 45, they'd thaw their eggs wouldn't work, and then they're like, oh shit, what am I going to do now? Because now my fertility is, you know, not in great shape. And so they'd kind of be left out in the cold. But what I found in the research with my book is that the women, they didn't, in fact, after they froze their eggs, it sort of made everything more clear for them. Mm-hmm. They made them realize how much they wanted children. It made them calm. And I think it helped them sort of get on the path where they're like, okay, this is what I want. Now, what do I need to do to get that? Okay, I should probably date. Well, I got to make a profile. You know, I should probably be selective in who I date. So it was very empowering for them and very clarifying.
Right. And probably cathartic in a way too.
Yeah. And then it's you're sitting across from a date and, you know, you don't have to bring up that discussion. Well, do you think you want kids on the second date? Because it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, of course it matters ultimately, but, you know, it's not so front in your mind.
You have a little time to fall in love first.
You do. And you're more relaxed and they feel it. It's not on your mind. I mean, it is, but it isn't. So it's not that their radar, their alarm isn't going off.
So what are the statistics of success? I mean, I know that with IVF, I recently learned that it was lower than I had anticipated. So is the statistics better with egg freezing because you're freezing younger eggs?
Well, so the way egg freezing works is that the younger you freeze your eggs, the better chance you have of success. And so when I was doing it, they said, you know, the latest you should do it by your 39th birthday. It depends. Every woman's fertility is different. So in some cases, a 40-year-old could freeze her eggs and she's got great fertility. In other cases, you know, a 34-year-old, she might be having, you know, they call it diminished ovarian reserve. But so she may be having issues. But I think the general guideline is if you're going to freeze, try to freeze them by 35. Because then you're going to have the best chance of them working. And then it's hard to measure what the success rates are because they're, you know, except for a couple centers, there aren't a ton of babies that have been born from them. So I think what doctors tell you is that from the really good centers that are doing it, that the success rates can be anywhere from 30 to 50% per transfer. So the way it works is let's say I freeze 6 eggs and when they thaw them, they fertilize them, I get like, you know, maybe 4 survive thawing and then maybe 2 fertilize and grow into embryo. So then they'll take those 2 embryos and put them back in my uterus. And so I think that's a transfer. So you have that per success rate per transfer, which in the good centers is almost the same as IVF.
Okay. So,
so it's actually becoming a real option and real, it's getting a lot more credible.
Right. I mean, there's still a risk that it won't work out, but there's definitely potential that it will.
Right.
A great potential.
Yeah.
One other thing I was just wondering about is what happens to the frozen eggs if you don't use them?
They sit there and you pay several $100 a year in storage. So I think at a certain point, my mom was, you know, laughing and she said, well, if you don't use them all, maybe we could sell them.
Like, can you sell them?
No, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you
Is there
could.
Just like a market for people who didn't get a chance to freeze their eggs, but want
Yeah,
eggs.
Well, so they're donor eggs. But the thing is, if you're going to be a donor, you're going to be screened through a fertility clinic. And if you're someone buying donor eggs, you want them from someone young. You don't want them pushing 39. That's not your ideal target group. So,
right.
You know, but there's nothing to stop me from giving them to a friend or.
Right.
But, you know, I'm probably not going to put them on Craigslist and, you know, get several $1,000 for them.
You can scramble them later if you want.
But so, you know, no one knows, like embryos, they last indefinitely.
Oh, okay. And what about the science? I mean, you said there's only been how many babies have been born through this technology and what do they know about, you know, them as humans?
Yeah, that's a good question. As humans, that's a good question. So I think there's several thousand that have been born worldwide. And there was a study released a couple years ago where they looked at all the cases and tracked the baby's health. And there's no risk to a baby born from a frozen egg than there is from a baby born from IVF.
Okay.
So, you know, that there was worry in the beginning, but it's, you know, it seems that it's not horribly. we know that there aren't huge health risks, or there's no extra risk to children born from frozen eggs than any other procedure.
I wonder if they have a different understanding of temperature. They're like, it's so hot all the time. Well, I really appreciate you coming today and like you sharing your story, because it's so beautiful. It's so fascinating. And I think it's really important that women know that this technology is out there, because the more women do it, hopefully the less it'll eventually cost and the more, does insurance cover it?
No, unfortunately not. There are some cases where you might be able to get your insurance to cover some of the exams before, or, you know, maybe on the second half when you thaw the eggs, you know, maybe you can get them to cover that part as IVF. You know, I don't know if your doctor could say, well, she just came for IVF and doesn't say it's from frozen eggs. So, you know, there's some cases where you can get, you know, or you get your insurance company to cover the drugs.
Oh, okay.
So there are, you know, it's worth investigating, but generally, you know, no, it's not available.
Right. And it's good to know that it's an option out there for people to research. And if anything, get in a credit card debt.
Yeah.
That's definitely a possibility. So please read Sarah's book. It's super interesting. Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. Thank you so much.
Thank you.